Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I believe that there's someone listening in today for the very first time. And perhaps you think that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Listen, my friend. God has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Yes, perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the death of His Son. Well, friends, if this is the first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today in love for your soul. And I'm here to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say. Now, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's word. You know, we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, someone might be saying, well, how do I get the faith in order to please God? We read in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's open up the broadcast today with a lovely tune, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory. Before we get into the book today, let's ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy holy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His love and mercy and grace expressed in His condescension, coming from the heights of glory down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the old rugged cross for our sin. Father, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void today. So wherever Christ is being presented as the Savior of sinners, may it please Thee, our God, to bear Thine arm in the salvation of precious souls. Bless the broadcast today, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, those of you who have your Bible handy and care to follow me in the Scriptures, please turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. And they, meaning Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, the Bible is a book containing many questions. And each one of these questions demand an answer, especially when the question comes from the lips of God. Now, the question which I would seek to bring before those of you listening in today is one which God himself has asked nearly 6,000 years ago. And yet I believe it was no more appropriate then than what it is today. The question for your consideration, my friend, is, Where art thou? Where art thou? Now, friends, we've just been reading how Adam and Eve disobeyed God by partaking of the forbidden fruit. And we're told that the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Ah, but when the news reached heaven that man had sinned, what did God do? Why, he came straight down to seek out the ones upon whom the sentence of death had fallen. And what did Adam and Eve do after they sought to cover their nakedness by their own efforts? Why, they hid amongst the trees in the garden. And they heard the voice of God as they walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And the voice said, Where art thou? Where art thou? Friends, it was a voice of love and mercy and grace, seeking the sinner. Adam and Eve should have been doing the seeking. They should have gone up and down the garden crying, Oh God, where art thou? But instead, God left heaven, and he came down to this sin-bedarkened scene, and he was seeking the rebel creature who had fallen. Not to cast him into a deserving hell, but rather to plan for him an escape from the misery of his sin. And God finds him too. But where? Hiding from his Creator amongst the trees of the garden. Yes, earlier when God had left Adam and Eve in the garden, they were in sweet communion with their Creator. And they were on speaking terms with God too. But once they had sinned, they had no desire to commune with God. They couldn't even bear to speak to him, and so they hid from God their Creator. But friend, the cry of a seeking God burst the evening stillness with three little words. Where art thou? Where art thou? My friend, haven't you ever lain in bed perhaps at the midnight hour, and the thought come to you, What is this thing called life? Where am I? Who am I? Where am I going? What's going to be the end of it all anyway? Now, friend, you who are young and energetic, the question is asked, Where art thou? You who are old with gray hair and eyes growing dim, where art thou? You who may be young or old and laying on beds of suffering and even death, as you're about to step into eternity, where art thou? Now, friends, I'm not concerned about where you are in your own eyes. I'm not concerned about where you are in the sight of your friends or relatives or associates either. No, it makes little difference what others may think about us. The important thing is, what does God think about us? What does he think about us? It is of vast importance to know where we are in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now, before we go any further, let's be clear on one point, and that is this. I'm speaking to you as an individual. And this all-important question is one which demands your personal and immediate as well as wholehearted attention. It was the very first question put to man after his fall. And it was a very small audience that God had, just Adam and Eve. So my friend, don't think God is speaking to your neighbor or your relatives. He's not. He's speaking to you as though you were all alone. And the question he asked is, Where art thou? Yes, where art thou in view of the onrushing eternity? Now, those of you who profess to be Christians, how would you answer the question, Where art thou? Are you a real child of God? Have you been born again? Do you recall a time when, a place where, and a manner how you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Have you ever seen yourself as lost and hell-deserving? Have you by faith applied the blood of Jesus Christ to that sinful heart and soul of yours? Friend, are you making progress towards heaven? And do your friends know you to be out and out for the Lord? Can you give a reason for the hope that is within you? And if you were to die today, my friend, could you honestly say with the assurance of an indwelled Holy Spirit that your soul would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, friend, if you can truthfully answer yes to the aforementioned questions, then you should thank God afresh for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can answer that question, "Where art thou?" with the words, "I'm only a sinner saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven because God says so." My friend, if you're saved and a child of God, you know where you're at. You're in Christ, where there is therefore now no condemnation. And all your sins have been put away through faith in the blood of God's Son that cleanseth from all sin. Now, friend, let me digress temporarily to make one point quite clear, and that is, professing Christ and possessing Christ are altogether two different things. Perhaps 95% of the people in the United States today may profess to be Christians. Ah, but it is evident from their walk and their talk that many of them have never been born by the Spirit of God from above. They have never experienced conviction of sin, and they know little or nothing about the personal application of the sacrificial and substitutionary death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Sure, these people may be the religious people in our midst. They belong to a church. They may have been baptized or dedicated. They may even be a Sunday school teacher, a member of the choir, or even a so-called reverend. But my friend, if you've never truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you're still on your way to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Now, friends, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everyone that has been baptized, that has joined a church, teaches Sunday school, sings in a choir, or takes the name of reverend, are lost and on their way to the pit. No, that's not the point. What I'm saying is this. If you've never seen yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, and if you've never applied by faith the blood of Jesus Christ to your sin-sick soul, then I tell you, in love for your soul, you're lost. You're only a heartbeat from hell. You have your back towards God, and you're going down to the pit. You know, Jesus Christ told that religious man Nicodemus over there in John chapter 3 and verse 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the sad part about it is the fact that millions of people are depending upon their religious activities and affiliations to keep them out of the eternal burning. And friend, with the fear of God before me, I can say that I personally believe that there are more formerly professing Christians in hell today than there are in heaven. Yes, it's a sad state of affairs, but speaking to you as an individual professing Christian, friend, where art thou? Where art thou? Yes, this question indeed should cause much soul-searching on the part of all of us who profess to be children of God. Now, perhaps there are some listening in today, and you know down deep in your heart that you've made a false profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you recall how emotional you were when you went forward to the altar or raised your hand at the invitation of some eloquent speaker. But it soon wore off, did it not? Yes, it soon wore off. You read your Bible for a while, and now you seldom pick it up. You used to spend much time on your knees praying, but now you can't seem to find time to speak to God. Yes, you've gone right back into the world that you had loved so much. To you, God asks the question, "Where art thou?" Listen, friend, if you're laboring under a false profession, give it up. If you have no time for the things of God, give it up. If you have not the love of Christ in your heart, give it up. Yes, give up that false profession, and right now, just where you are, acknowledge your sinful condition before God and cry out like the publican of Luke 18, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Friend, I can't think of anything worse in God's sight than an individual who knows that they have nothing more than a name to live by, in other words, professing to be Christian, and yet they don't have the root of the matter within them. I don't doubt but what there are many false professors listening to my voice today. And even now the Holy Spirit of God is pleading with you to cast aside your pride and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master right now. But will you? Will you, my friend? You're fooling your friends and neighbors, and everything seems to be going all right. You're respected by others in your religious associations. Why upset things now? Why rock the boat? And besides, they might laugh at you, and you'll be the topic of local gossip. This, my friend, is just what the devil wants. He likes you just the way you are, externally pure, pious, and proud. But how about the heart? Sinful, corrupt, and headed for hell? Oh, friend, I plead with you today in sincerity and in love for your soul. Give up your false profession and truly accept God's offer of mercy through faith in Jesus Christ. And, friend, let me warn you that the day is not far away when the tares shall be separated from the wheat. Yes, the saved shall be separated from the lost. The children of God shall be separated from the children of the devil. And, friend, if you're not really saved, you'll be cast into the everlasting burnings prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, a word to those of you who perhaps have never heard the gospel before. You've given no thought to your soul's eternal welfare. You're not a church member and never expect to be. You make no profession of faith in Jesus Christ because you haven't taken the time to listen to the question, "Where art thou?" Friend, you're too busy wallowing in the muck and mire of sin. You're going in for all the pleasures that the world has to offer, and your philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry. If you have any thoughts at all about the hereafter, you keep them to yourself, or you muzzle them before they interfere with your lust for pleasure and sin. You, my friend, are a sinner, and you know it. But you're not a bit concerned about the possibilities of an eternal hell. You, my friend, are in a state of spiritual shock. Yes, perhaps you're laughing at me even now as I bring before you the Word of God. But what does God's Word have to say? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The fool hath said in his heart there is no God. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And finally, God's Word says, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" Sinner friend, what's to become of you? How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Yes, the salvation that has been provided by God in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Is it true that you are living without God and without hope in this world? Friend, did you ever stop to think what would become of your soul if you were to die as you are without the blood of Jesus Christ covering your soul? What excuse will you give when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment? Friend, listen. My Bible tells me that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My unsaved friend, I can tell you today on the authority of this book I hold in my hand, the Bible, that if you'll come by faith to the foot of the cross and acknowledge your true condition before God and accept His Son as your Savior, that He will be only too ready, willing, and able to save your soul. But friend, you must be sincere. God has no time for man's foolishness. Thank God no one ever sought Jesus Christ with a sincere heart who did not find Him. And furthermore, I have never met a person yet who ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and who later regretted the fact that they did so. Why? Because they became new creatures in Christ Jesus. They were delivered from the wrath to come. They were born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God into the family of God. And they have access to the very throne of God, where they obtain sweet communion and fellowship as children of His. But how about you, my friend? Where art thou? Where art thou? Now perhaps I'm speaking to many who are in the very prime of life. To you I say, pause a minute, friend. Yes, just stop for a moment and answer the question, where art thou? Take a look back along the road of time, and what do you see? Why, it's a cradle. And it hasn't been so long since your mother rocked you to sleep in it. Take another look back. Yonder is the tombstone that marks the resting place of mother or dad. When they died, did you not promise to consider your latter end? Did you not say that their God would someday become your God? And did you not stand beside their bed in the waning moments of their life and promise that you would meet them in heaven? And have you done anything to keep that promise, friend? 10, 15, or 20 years have rolled by. But are you any nearer to heaven? No, my friend, your heart is getting harder. The night is getting darker. By and by, that grim monster called death will be throwing its shadow about you. Ah, my friend, where art thou? Where art thou? Take another look back and see the tombstone which rests upon the grave of a little child. Perhaps she was a pretty little girl, or he may have been a chubby little boy. And when God took them home to heaven, You promised them that you would see them again in the glory. But will you, my friend? Will you see them again? Where art thou? Are you still fighting against God? Are you still, my friend, hardening your heart against the pleadings of the Holy Spirit? Sermons that would have melted you to tears 5 or 10 years ago, do they touch you now? Ah, my friend, I'm not trying to play on your sympathy. This is reality. Sin is a reality. Death is a reality. Hell is a reality. And you must answer God's question today. Where art thou? Now let's take another look. This time into the future. Up ahead we see still another tombstone, and it bears your name and birth date followed by a dash. What will follow that dash? Why, the date of your death. Friend, if it should have today's date on it, would your soul be in heaven, or would your soul be in hell? Where art thou? Perhaps you're saying, well, I'm still young and healthy. Ah, my friend, take a look at the obituary column. People die at every age. In fact, the coffin that is to bear your body may already be in the undertaker's cellar or garage, awaiting your loved one's choice of color and cost. Do I hear someone say, he's too dramatic? If so, listen, friend. What could be more dramatic than life and death? We're only here for a short time, then off we go into an eternity of torment, or into an eternity of comfort and joy in the presence of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Tell me, friend, where art thou? Where art thou? Up till now we've been dealing with the background of God's question, as well as the need for answering it in view of the brevity of life and the certainty of death. Now, friend, let's just analyze your position as an individual in the sight of God today. First of all, you are a sinner. Whether you believe it or not, you were born in sin, and you've practiced sin up until this very moment. You're a sinner in the sight of God. We're all sinners. Second, you are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And third, my friend, you are headed for hell and the lake of fire. Now, friend, you may not like this brief analysis of your position in God's sight if you've never been saved, but that doesn't alter the truth of God's word. No, it doesn't alter the truth of God's word one iota. For if God says it, I believe it. And Lord willing, I'll preach it. Friends, now that God has asked the question and has answered it for you by His own precious word, where does that leave you? Well, if you're hearing the gospel of God's grace for the first time today and continue on in your sins, then you are neglecting God's way of salvation through faith in Christ. You're drifting along on the river of life, and you're sitting in your little boat at peace with the world, but not with God. Suddenly you hear a cry of warning regarding the rapids and falls up ahead, but you neglect the warning and fold your arms in self-assurance, and over you go into the terrible abyss that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now, if you've heard the gospel before, and it has aroused you to deep thought and soul trouble, yet you are still unsaved, then you are rejecting God's love. Yes, the love of God which was manifested in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. You've always meant to become a Christian someday, but not now. You've been warned faithfully of the coming judgment, and you know within your heart that you must be born again, but you keep putting it off just like Governor Felix in Acts chapter 24 until you have a more convenient season. My friend, hell is packed with Christ rejectors. In fact, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And furthermore, there's still room for you. But thank God, this is still the day of His grace. Yes, we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, sinner friend, please don't put it off. This may be your last day on earth. Many who awoke this morning in perfect health are even now spending their first moments in hell. And furthermore, they'll be in torment forever and forever and forever. Now, in addition to those who neglect and reject God's way of salvation, there are those who have long since passed those stages, and even now they despise God's plan of redemption. They despise Jesus Christ. They despise Christianity and those who call themselves born-again Christians. They despise those who are praying for their soul. They despise programs like this, which warn of the wrath of God to come. They despise the Word of God, which points to salvation through faith in the blood of Christ. These people do all in their power to discredit the value and the virtue of the precious blood of Christ, thinking nothing of it, and trampling underfoot that crimson flow. My friend, again I ask you, where art thou? Where art thou? Perhaps someone is asking, well, I believe that I'm a sinner. I realize I can't do a thing to save my own soul. I realize I'm going down the broad way to hell, but how can I be saved? To you, my friend, I give you the truth of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Did you notice? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, there are a lot of people today, and they don't want to get down to hell. They want a fire escape. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't depend on feelings either, my friend. Just depend on the Word of God. Just depend on what Jesus Christ said in that most memorable of all verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, just take God at his word, and you'll know the joy of sins forgiven through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. I see my time's about gone, so I'll close with a reminder that, friend, you must answer God's question, where art thou? Where art thou? And, friend, as you answer that question today, in the fear and presence of God, I trust that you'll realize that this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, again we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his precious blood that flowed for sin at Calvary. We thank thee for extending the day of grace so that we might have this privilege of exalting thy Son as Savior. May there be those out in Radio Land even now who are accepting by faith alone thy Son as their Savior and Lord. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.